Two things. One, if you get a chance to make it to Encounter, then do so. It's a really different dynamic, which is encouraging us. For a long time, we thought that while we accept that God has given us a job to do in terms of making Sunday mornings work for all ages, because one size does not fit all, we're finding that there's good stuff coming out of doing concentrated time of speaking and sun worship and prayer. And we think that what's going to happen is, as the weeks go on, our expectations will increase and we'll become more and more ready to meet with God. And when all said and done, if singing happens without encounter with God, it's just singing. And if preaching happens without encounter with God, it's just a lecture. You know, essentially what makes sense of what we do is the fact that we meet God. Yeah? So, let's pray for Marion. She's going to be taking us on to the first of the detailed sessions of Fruitfulness on the Front Line, and is going to be talking about modelling godly character, unless I've really got things in the wrong. No, that is all right. Let's pray. Father, we do believe that something happens when heart communicates to heart, that we are changed inside. And Lord, we believe that what we are affects how people respond to us and the impact we make. And so, Lord, we pray that as a result of what we hear this morning, you'll continue to work in the process that we know is going on inside us, of gradually changing us more and more into the shape and the substance of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much. You know that experience that you read about in when people have operations and they nearly die on the operating table, but they're above looking down at what's going on? I feel a bit like that this morning, but I can assure you I'm not dead. But I know I'm not going to die either. Exactly, Andy. Yeah. When we were looking at the topics of developing this whole thing of fruitfulness on the front line, I looked at this topic, modelling godly character, and I thought, yeah, I'd like to do that. But I'm not very good at it. And Dave Halls kind of went, you can do it. So here I am doing something that I don't think that I am always good at. And proof of the pudding was the fact that, having not been too well, yesterday evening, Peter and I had a little scrap, and I got really cross with him, which was not modelling godly character in any way, shape or form, but I have apologised, and that is the important thing. So we're talking about frontline and how we can be fruitful. And I don't know about you, but frontlines are different for different people. So for some of you, it'll be the school gate where you interact with children. For some of you, it'll be those sleepovers where you interact with parents that you don't necessarily meet at the gate. It might be that it's your neighbours or people that live in the vicinity of where you are. It could be members of your family who have not yet come to faith that you constantly interact with. It could be your work colleagues, people that you see day to day in a work environment. It could be relational links, so it could be because you play football or because you play darts or because you play badminton or something like that. There are all these different ways in which we connect with people each day. And I think we need to understand, part of what we're going to be looking at today is that time that we interact with people is crucial and is vitally important. We looked at a report in the diploma course I'm doing at the moment on counselling, and it's something that's been released but not released by the government, which actually talks about the importance of relationships in terms of mental health. As you know, mental health is a fairly big issue at the moment. And they're now beginning to realise that people need to interact with people in order to have that sense of balance and well-being and connectedness. God is in relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He created us to be in relationship. And there's that whole group of people, particularly in the older generation, people who are living on their own, either singly or as a couple, where there is a real breakdown of relationship. And they've even started to talk about, and I think it's coming into being, this thing called PALS, where you have a buddy and you look to actually get alongside somebody who you know is living on their own, and you begin to form a relationship. That's done a lot with sort of young people and teenagers, but they're wanting to roll that out because they realize just how important relationship is. So don't underestimate how important your relationship is with the people that you rub shoulders with every day. Front lines, I don't know about you, but front lines are interesting because they can be quite static for a while, they can change. Peter and I are in quite a quandary at the moment because some of the people who've been on our front line for a while have moved. Yes. One's gone to Belgium because that's where her family are at the moment. And another couple that we've had contact with the last 5 years, and in the last year we've been meeting them every other Friday to play bridge with, that sort of thing, getting to know them because that was their desire, are now moving to London. They've moved. And so people that we've had quite a lot of impact and input into have moved. But the issue is not so much the fact that they've moved, because we can continue to pray for them, we can continue to pray that somebody else will make that link with them and help them to grow in their faith. But the impact that we've had is just on being who we are with them. So much so that in the case of one colleague who moved 2 years ago, we actually had them come and stay with us in the summer on their way down to Cornwall, and were able to meet their little girl for the first time. And they informed us when they had their second little girl at the beginning of September. And we've kept connections like that. A couple of weeks ago, I was standing in Allington Farm looking at some cards. There was a person standing here, and I just went, "Oh, can't see any cards for such and such." And this voice said, "Marion." And I turned round, and it was a guy that I'd been at college with 30 some odd years ago, more than that actually, quite a long time, 1971. And we've maintained contact over the years in different ways. He knows I'm a Christian, I've shared my faith with him, but he was a real solid friend who stuck close to me going through college. And he wasn't a Christian, yet he had that character and that quality that showed that he cared and was concerned. And here he was. And where does he live now? He lives in France. And he'd come back for a weekend to see some friends locally and happened to be in Allington Farm having breakfast. And that's how we met up. But the great news is I've now got his email address, so I can keep in contact with him beyond the Christmas card and the letter that goes with it. So our front lines are there and they change. And it's all about our character and who we are and how we relate to people. I'm sure if I'd been terribly awful with Philip, he would have never bothered to come and speak to me. He'd have sneaked out without wanting to be seen. But we've been good friends over the years, and so that friendship and that quality of relationship meant that he felt quite free to leave his gay partner shopping in another part of the shop and come and spend time talking to me and finding out how I was, what we were doing. So we're now going to think a little bit about what it means to have godly character. What do we mean when we say godly character? And we're going to see a clip now, please, clip number one. And have a look at this carefully and listen to it. And I'm going to give you something to do afterwards.
The first one.
Yes, clip one, please.
Occasionally I go to coffee shops. There's something about the warm hubbub of a really good coffee shop that makes for great conversation. As for the coffee itself, well, the coffee's pretty good every time. But my experience of being served, well, that varies enormously. Some baristas make you feel like you're part of a production line, just another relic to fill and another wallet to empty. Other baristas, well, they make you feel like they're really pleased to see you. Welcome. And they're always like that, even though sometimes they too must have had a really bad night's sleep, or have to stand waiting for the bus in the rain for half an hour, or be worried about their mum, or maybe just have had a couple of really cranky customers complaining about the chocolate on their cappuccinos. No, they're really always pleased to see you. They don't just want to wish you a nice day. They want to make your day nicer. Character shine through in everything we do.
Okay, task number one. I'd like you just to get together in twos or threes, and I would like you to share, right, an experience that you've had, or a friendship or relationship that you have had or made that made you feel special and cared for. What was that? What did they do that made you feel special? And how has your response been as a result of that? Okay? So, question with three parts. A situation that you've been in, or a relationship that you've been in, where you have felt special and cared for. What was it that made you feel special? And please keep it clean. And what has been your response? Okay? I'm going to give you about 4 minutes to do that. So in twos or threes, okay? Lots of chatter, so therefore I'm assuming lots of interesting stories. Okay. Okay, Jana, as you were the last person talking. Can you share something where you have experienced or encountered some sort of service that has actually impacted you in some way, what it was and how you responded to it?
It may sound a bit funny, but the person who actually made me feel really good was my new dentist.
That's helpful, yeah.
Because, you know, when she talks to me, she always smiles, and she's always, she's my friend, you know. And
yeah.
She really does a great job.
Yeah.
And it is such a huge difference from the previous dentist that I had. But actually, I'm not afraid to go there. I had to go there a couple of times because...
So she takes away your fear and gives you a sense of confidence that she knows what she's doing, and so you can kind of relax as much as you can relax in a dentist's chair. Brilliant. Anybody else would like to share, or else I'll pick on somebody. Rosie.
When I was 16, I had a boyfriend who lived away, a little way away, a couple of train trips away, and his family were my mother for Christian hospitality, really. They always had a spare bed or two, and the house was always unlocked, there was almost always someone there, and the kettle was always on, and they were just really loving people.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's odd, because I think that they taught me that I was loved for in a way that my parents loved me, but they had to because that's their job, you know.
Yes.
That's how I felt about that time. It didn't count.
Yeah.
Whereas I felt really accepted there. But it's funny though, because looking back, they were just really lovely, accepting people, and you know, they could find something lovely in anyone.
Yeah.
But that didn't really matter at the time to me. That they actually made me feel really.
So that contributed to your well-being and your sort of confidence in who in yourself and your self-esteem.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Charlie?
Also, I had a friend, I think somebody knows her, actually, Mary, went to Australia to live and then came back recently.
Oh, Mary Callison.
Yeah, and she was in my entity group, and she always made a real effort with me to kind of, like, if I was looking tired of the real world, we just don't know, but she was kind of text, and, you know, if you went around there, you felt really, like, you know, kind of relaxed and
yeah.
Things like that. And then I found out she was Christian. So she's kind of responsible.
She's kind of responsible. That's good. Yeah, so in a sense, you didn't kind of know that at the time, but what she was doing and how she was relating to you was, in a sense, out of who she was in her faith and who she'd become. And that was really impacting your life in the long term. Yeah, that's a brilliant example. Katrina?
My initial one, I'm not going to say. No, I don't. Okay.
Yeah, tell me afterwards. Sorry.
My second one was a friend of mine, a colleague, we got close about 6 months ago. We're now so close to the point she's getting married next year, and she's asked me to do her reading and go to her to church when she has her band read.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
that's exciting, isn't it? Yeah. I remember, I don't know if... when I lived in Exeter, we had a Tesco's, and I remember going in and I wanted to get some ham. So I went and stood at the cold meat counter, and there were these two ladies, and they were deep in conversation. And I stood there, and I waited. I was very polite. And eventually one of them noticed me, and she said, do you want something then? From that day on until fairly recently, I never shopped in Tesco's for a long time, because I thought, you don't treat customers like that, compared to an experience I had in Tokyo where I went into a shop and I bought something, and without me saying anything, the woman was really nice. She took it, and she, you know what Japanese are like, they wrap everything up so it looks like gift wrapped. And my mouth fell open. I said, it's not a special present or anything. She says, no, that's what we do. There you are. So two different approaches to a customer. The one made me not go to a Tesco's for a long time. The other made me want to keep going back to that shop because it made me feel special, but I wasn't there long enough to ruin the credit card, fortunately. But, you know, if someone is positive and helpful, then that draws something out of you that other things don't do. So the way we are, and it's our attitude, it's a series of things. It's our attitude, our language, what you want then. Like I was in Tobago, I went to the post office, and again, the woman behind the counter, because I was white and everybody else was black in there, she went, yeah, you want something then? I said, I wouldn't be standing here wanting stamps if I didn't. You know, it's just like, ugh. So there's that, and then there's body language. Body language is very important. I remember the chap who led our previous church going, Sister Barker, your face, well, it has so many expressions. And from then on, I really have had to watch. My face tells 1,000 pictures, and I have to watch it, particularly with doing counselling now, when you're supposed to be able to sit and almost not condemn the person who's sitting in front of you and talking to you without raising your eyebrows when they tell you something and going, when it's funny, you have to sort of kind of remain calm. And I'm finding that quite hard at the moment, so do pray for me or pray for the clients I have to deal with. And our actions, the things that we do that we've been talking about, you know, impact people's lives. Now, if they impact us as Christians, how much more of an impact when we interact with people and behave in a godly way? So, there's some paper here, your next activity, and what I want you to do, and there's a free lunch for the winner, is to in pairs, write down as many characteristics that you would describe as being godly. So if you describe somebody being a really nice, godly person, good person, because God is good, see how many you can come up with. There's some pens coming around as well. Okay. 10987654320. Paul, your pairing, your group.
Patience.
Patience. I presume you mean that's on your list, not that you've got that one sussed. Yeah.
You're going to put not baseball on there.
Yeah, not baseball, yeah. Throw some out at me, please.
Kindness.
Oh, David hasn't been showing you my PowerPoint, right?
Humble. Wise.
Pardon?
Humble.
Wise. Loving.
Joyful.
Andy Weeds?
Accepting.
I was just checking he wasn't falling asleep over there, you see?
Encouraging.
Faithful.
Ooh, what? Playful?
Faithful.
Faithful. Faithful. Faithful. Faithful. I was just checking what I heard. Ah, oh dear. Ooh. Just hot in here. Okay. Louise? Generous there as well. Generous, yes. Truthful.
Willingness to help.
So sort of help, helpful, yeah. Thanks, Simon. Any more?
Okay.
Just 1 second, I've got one from Jana.
Listening.
Okay. And Sarah?
Forgiving.
Okay, so there's a few. I don't know about you, but I definitely failed on that one yesterday. And I was thinking that one of the verses in the Bible, when it says love, you know, the one which we'll look at in a minute, in 1 Corinthians 13, it starts with patience. That must be one of the hardest to achieve, I should think. Okay, David, if we could have the PowerPoint. Right. I just picked out some of the key ones from the 49 that they gave, which some of them you've got here. And I've put what I consider to be those that are the spiritual. Actually, they come from us as spiritual beings, but the opposite when we operate out of our flesh. Okay, so you've got attentiveness, unconcern, availability, self-centered, compassionate, indifferent, deference, where you defer to somebody, or rudeness, dependability, inconsistency, endurance, giving up, faith, presumption, flexibility, resistance, forgiveness, rejection. Next one, please, Dave. Generosity, stinginess, hospitality, loneliness, humility, pride, love, selfishness, patience, restlessness, punctuality, tardiness, tolerance, prejudice, truthfulness, deception, virtue, impurity, wisdom, natural inclinations. And that was some of the things that they suggested. Okay, next slide, please, David. And in the Bible, there are two passages that you should be aware of that talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Those things that, as God works in our lives, produce these fruits. So let's read these two sets of passages together. They're quite short. So let's start with this one. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And 1 Corinthians just picked out the key bits here. Together we read, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now we're going to watch a story of someone who was in a situation where she tried to model godly character.
True story. Louise worked for an absolute ogre. She was PA to probably the most unreasonable boss in Buckinghamshire. He was bad, so he was changeable. He was indifferent to other people. And she worked for him for 3 years. She prayed for strength. She prayed that he would change. But he didn't. And she often felt like a failure. In the end, she just couldn't take it any longer. And she left, feeling like she'd let God down. 3 weeks later, the woman who replaced her called her up and said, "It is impossible. I've been here 2 weeks and I'm already thinking about leaving. How did you do it?" I talked to other people and they said, "You were fantastic, you were patient, you were gracious, you were always upbeat despite his impossible way. How did you do it?" How did she do?
Thank you. Okay, so how did she do it? Any answers?
Natural
love,
isn't it? Love is patient. She was patient.
Okay. Anything else?
There's a bit of Holy Spirit power in her.
Okay. Yeah, it said she prayed because of the situation and asked God to give her the strength. And as a result of what she did, she had an impact, but she didn't see the impact that she was having until somebody contacted her who had taken on the job after the 3 years after she left. And the interesting thing was, she thought she'd been a failure. She hadn't been able to sort of really, I suppose, be like Christ in her workplace, because in the end she felt she'd given up. But she was probably dealing with a very, very difficult situation, a very difficult person. And in fact, she then realized that she had been showing these godly qualities in her life as she lived it out in her office while she worked for that particular company with that particular boss. And so I want to encourage you that maybe where you think you are not achieving anything, you're not being fruitful on your front line, that actually you are modelling godly character, godly qualities in the way you're relating to people from day to day. And the issue is that we can't do it on our own. The song we were playing at the beginning, it's not who I am, it's because of what you've done. It's because of Christ, actually, that we can begin to relate to people in this way on our front lines. It's the Holy Spirit who can transform us and who can flow through us. Now, she's not able to be here this morning because she has been working, but Sue Stanger had an interesting experience. If she'd been here, I would have sort of kind of interviewed her. But I've got her to write down her story, and I'll just read it to you. After leaving my previous employment, I was en route there to return my uniform. I had to stop at a garage to get petrol, and God prompted me to buy flowers for the manager there. Now, that would have been nice under normal circumstances, although I must stress I did not leave on bad terms. I think I felt the manager was, so to speak, always in your face. And I guess we were very similar in many ways. This was a new manager. When she first started at the lodge where she worked, she did really well. She got very well with the manager, and she got promotion and various things happened. And it was a very positive experience for her. This woman came in and made things really, really difficult. So as you can imagine, she says, flowers was the last thing I wanted to give her. As I approached the till, the assistant commented on what lovely flowers they were. My reply was, yes, they're for my boss, through gritted teeth. I arrived at work and asked if she was in, and was informed that she was somewhere in the building. And with relief, I was just about to drop the uniform, leave the flowers, when she bounced through the doors. She had an odd look on her face, and I explained I was just dropping the uniform off, and then I produced the flowers. Her initial reaction was to stand off in a harsh voice and say, what are they for? And luckily, she said, God gave me the words, and my reply was, being a manager is a thankless task, and these are to say thank you. Her harsh face melted down, and I received a big hug. She says, now I've completed my exams and wanted to return as bank staff. I left a message for her. And this is almost a year after leaving that job. And she said, to my amazement, an email arrived almost the next day inviting me to go back as bank senior staff, and she'd be delighted to have me back on board, as good staff were hard to find. That's an example from Sue. Last frame, please, David. A couple of weeks ago, while I was kind of thinking along these lines, God impacted on me a picture of a stained glass window. When the sun is behind a stained glass window, you get the full impact of the glory and majesty of the window. And in the thoughts that God was giving to me, it was something like, some of those panes can be a bit dirty on the outside. So when the light shines through, some bits don't actually reflect the full light and glory. And God wants us all to be like beautiful stained glass windows that reflect his glory as we connect with people on our front lines. Because we are him on earth. We are his children. We're a new creation. He's made us. And he wants us to connect with people like he connected with us all the years ago when we became Christians and came to know him. And so I want us in a minute, if you would be willing, to just ask the Holy Spirit to come. And if there are areas, and I don't know, Dave, if you want to at some point take over on this, but just to ask the Holy Spirit to come and show you maybe those areas where you feel you need a polishing up on your front line. I know for me, one of the areas will be that whole thing of patience and being able to be open and not to be, you know, rushing in. And so let's just close our eyes, give you time just to think about those areas that you would want to grow in. Maybe generosity, hospitality, humility, love, all the things we've talked about this morning. Holy Spirit, come and touch each of us. Come and reach deep into our hearts and just help us to receive from you all that we need to be your children, to reflect you. Light of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Let my flesh life melt away.